I don't know. There's a lot of them in there.
Oh, okay.
Six, ten, something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what, I didn't get to pull them all up because we just don't have much computer things here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions I asked you on the phone.
It's okay.
Okay, so you can get that. And then feel free with the water or anything when you
ever yeah, I take a lot of medication, so I hope you don't mind the gum because no. It's either water or gum.
Well, I get real dry even when I do this kind of stuff, so. Okay, but it's basically the same thing. But we're looking for all those little personal stories that you were telling me on the phone. You know, like the one about your family, the things about with your husband and why that was so important. So those are the kind of things I'll ask you. Again,
okay.
I know him, but we want everybody else to know that we want to get it.
And
recorded.
I did bring this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a cover girl.
Cool. Okay, her college featured her. That is sweet. Where's your article in here?
It's just one page, but it's
awesome.
It's nicely done because it doesn't say that I'm the greatest in the world. It just
mentions
more or less bring up the organization
well,
more than anything.
I'd like to get a copy of this if we could. We go downstairs. That is really
I thought of bringing. I made copies because I sent them to all my children and grandchildren.
You see what your grandma doing?
I went back to the college for an affair and. And the nun says, well, I hope you didn't let it go to your head. I said, sorry, sister, it's too late.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Notre Dame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame College, yeah.
Awesome.
South Euclid.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
what
yeah, yeah, I actually mm-hmm. went to a basketball camp here.
Did you?
When I was a kid. Yeah. Mm. We stayed there. Okay. So, Maureen, whenever you're ready, let me know. You're this is Paula Tucci, and I am interviewing Irene Toth. She's from the West Creek Preservation Committee. We are here on June 19th, 2008. Irene, would you please again state your name?
Irene Toth.
Your date of birth?
January 28th, 1925.
Irene, where were you born?
In a little town in Pennsylvania called Ginter, right in the central part.
How long did you live there?
I was a little past three, almost 4 years old when we moved here to Cleveland, and I've been living in Cleveland ever since.
What made you move from there to here?
My mother didn't like my father working in the mine, the coal mines, and her brother helped her to move here. Her oldest brother. My mother's actually the oldest of 14 children.
So that was about what you came here in
1928, probably. It was in 1928 before the crash.
Okay, so what did your family do when you got here? What kind of occupation did you?
My father got work in the steel mills.
Okay, so
he worked there until he retired.
Wow. Okay, did your mom ever work? Or
yes, she worked in the woolen mills. They made cloth that went into uniforms for the servicemen during World War II. So,
did you then live in the Parma neighborhood your whole life?
No. I lived in what is now called Slavic Village, Broadway East 55th Street, Our Lady of Lourdes Church. I was married there, went to school there through the eighth grade. Then went to Notre Dame Academy at Notre Dame College.
And then you met your husband?
Afterwards.
Okay. And then moved to the in the Parma area then after that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. What's your current role in this project?
Well, this is my second term on the Board of Trustees, and I'm the editor of the newsletter.
Okay. How many chronicles have you written for the newsletter?
I think it's 8 or 10, I'm not sure.
What was your favorite story that you've written so far?
I got the most information when I did the Henninger family. That was 2 pages because there was so much. The great-granddaughter of the original Philip Henninger did approach the organization, and then I called her and I interviewed her, and that was...
Okay, how does that relate to this story? How does this family relate to this story?
Well, the Henninger House is the oldest house in Parma. We have been instrumental in saving it. Trust for Public Land also was involved in that. But then we gave it to the city of Parma. But we're planning to use it as a trailhead.
Oh. Okay, so that was one of the first stories that you did? And
no, the first story I did was on the West family.
Okay.
People think West Creek is because it's... west of east or whatever. The family was the West family, came here. They were given lands. I forget how many acres. It's in my first article. And I had seen the three graves, not because of involvement with West Creek, but I used to play bridge. In fact, we still have our tournament there at the Holiday Inn, where 77 and 480 come together. And I had walked back there rather than walk out to the traffic. And I spotted these graves. And I said, wow, James West, Susan West, and Enos West. So then, of course, I connected them to the West Creek. I took pictures of it, and that was my first article.
Okay, that's where the name, obviously, where the name came
from. Right, right. They came from Virginia. Actually, Thomas West, their forebearer, I don't know how many generations, I do have it somewhere, but he was the first governor of Virginia.
Okay, and being this historian and writing all these stories, how is that... got your group closer, or what has it done for your group, would you say?
Well, I think as far as the board, I don't know if that's what necessarily brings us together. It is what brings us together is that everybody has this little area of expertise and takes care of it. So that makes us a little more cohesive because we can depend on each other to take care of our little areas. What I did find is that a lot of people commented about the fact that they liked these stories, they liked the way the newsletter went. Even the mayor told me once, since you've been editor, it's a better newsletter. So I don't know.
How big is the circulation of this newsletter?
Gosh.
Does it go all of the surrounding areas of West Creek?
It goes to all our membership, and then we have a contact list. And then besides that, I take copies to the three Parma libraries, Parma City Hall, the Senior Center, and my dentist wants them in his office. So
what's the impact of this? Do you think this has been a real positive thing, this newsletter?
It seems to. Our membership has been increasing, and that's important to us for many reasons. As you know, many grants require that a certain number of membership is part of what you're asking for, that you can show that you have enough membership. And also that it is money that we can use for any reason.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit. Now we got, you know, what your role is. Let's look at how you got involved in this project. What motivated you to get involved with the West Creek Preservation Committee?
Well, originally my husband and I went to all the meetings. And after he died, I went to one meeting and I took the fossils that we had collected to the meeting. And Sue Zarovchek asked me to bring them. She was having a table at Parmatown, and she needed somebody to man the table while she did other things, and she wanted me to bring the fossils. So I did that for several years, and then they asked me to be on the board after that.
So just bringing some fossils that you and your husband had collected and,
right.
and brought it?
Right.
So what did this mean to your family? What was this...
I have to tell you a funny part of the reason I had them is that the mother of the whichever grandchild it was, they'd want to take it home. She said, they're not taking that home on the plane. So they ended up in my front yard.
Well, that's kind of cool. Okay, so your husband and you were both real instrumental in this project at first. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, at the time, that's when they were fighting the building of which is now there now, the Giant Eagle, and it was supposed to be a Home Depot. And so we went to all the meetings, went to the meetings that they had at Parma City Hall, and it was standing room only. I mean, people just, the West Creek group was able to get a good response to that kind of a meeting. So we went to those hoping that, you know, it would show that we were in favor of saving it rather than building on that particular land. They destroyed a level 3 wetlands when they did the building there.
Oh. So your husband, did he have a position or anything?
He was the assistant city engineer for the city of Parma in, it was about 10 years, probably 50s, maybe into the early 60s.
So he's watching all this development occur in the
yes.
reason.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about this importance to your family... would you say that was the thing that really What was the thing that really got you involved? I mean, what was the thing that really made you the maddest about this whole development thing?
Well,
I mean, what made you go to a meeting?
Well, originally my husband. But then once I got involved and got to know the people, then of course I was in too. It was just, the hook caught me. My husband was a true naturalist. I mean, he could name any tree wherever you walked, any shrub, any vegetation. He knew, he could identify birds from their songs, and he taught our grandchildren to look for trails, you know, of animals and how to identify them and so forth. In fact, he gave them all a love of nature.
Oh, that's great. All right, so let's look at the group that you started going to these meetings. So what was the next step? What was the timeline that really got this group? Because obviously this group's very successful.
Well, obviously I like to talk a lot, and Sue used that. I went to enough things where people got to know me from being there, and they called me the fossil lady. I was going to bring my fossil lady shirt, but I thought, nah, it's too much. But... No, I always, anytime there was meetings, I was usually there and at the table, you know. We had a series of meetings with Cleveland Metro Parks. That was 3 years ago, prior to signing the lease with them. And I would always do the sign-in and take care of things at that point too. So they knew I was always around, you know,
okay,
taking
so
care
this,
of things.
This little group started forming. Where did you... have your meetings, and did you guys start having meetings right away? Or
the group was formed by the time I joined, because it started in 1997.
And how many people were in the group?
That I'm not sure of. I know originally Jenny did all the paperwork on her computer and, you know, ran off things and so forth because they had no office. And the only office might have been Dave Linchick's kitchen table. And I pointed that out, I think, in the article, because we didn't have an office. We didn't have money, didn't have anything. So it was, I would think, tough going at the beginning. It was very difficult. There was a lot of good response from the city of Parma, obviously from those meetings that were well attended. But when it came to getting the money to run this group, that might have been a little more difficult.
So all of your meetings took place in this Mr. Linchek's kitchen?
No. The Parma Snow Library allowed us to use open meetings there.
Oh, that's good.
And board meetings, I think they had, someone told me, Southwest Cafe. I'm not sure.
Okay. So let's look at, when you're looking at what motivated you, you said your husband, so let's look at the timeline of this project. So you got involved, and where were they when you got involved?
Well, shortly after I got involved, they built, they had the restoration, they had wetlands built. Terry Greathouse, who's a professor from Tri-C Western Campus, got the grants, got the cooperation of the city of Parma. This had been a construction landfill, and they were able to move all the stuff, and looking at it today, you'd say, well, that's been there for 100 years.
So
beautiful.
A teacher?
Yes. He's a professor of biological science
at
Tri-C Western Campus.
Wow. So what would you say, then, from your perspective, was the most important part of the project since you've been involved?
Well, I would think that was a major project, and there have been a few other things that have happened as a result of that. Terry worked on a there was a washout because of the heavy rains of the previous season, and as a result, there is a sewer line that runs right near the creek. This is, you know, in a valley, and it's the Keystone Interceptor, and the washout had the soil was away from that interceptor, and they needed to cover that and move the creek back to its natural stream bed. So he did that, and he also was able to do some they're not wetlands, but they're small areas where the washout had been and where the oxbow was. So they just planted that with wetland plants and left it there.
So what would you say, it sounds like volunteers and things like, so what are some of the hurdles that you have encountered since you've been involved with this committee? Some of the things you, really you had to...
Well, in the beginning, it was hard to explain all this to people, make them understand the importance of it. You had to be sort of very diplomatic. But now I find people are very grateful and tell us that. You know, they're very grateful for the fact that we're doing all this. And they'll always say, well, what can I do? And I always say, well, become a member. And, you know, your membership money helps us.
What about grant money? I understand you guys have raised...
$15 million, they tell me, or more.
Now, when you do a grant, how do you disperse the money? I mean, how does that...
The stipulation on how that can be used is very strict. And I know because in the board meeting, the discussions we have on our various accounts, each account is probably determined by what the grant is and how that can be spent.
Any other hurdles, would you say, the funding and the, you know, and just getting the people the knowledge, anything else that you would say that, boy, that was a big...
Well, mess? I think this past year we've had, I'm not involved in it, but we had to hire another watershed coordinator because Neil Hess left, and he was just spectacular. I mean, he was an outstanding worker, but he got a better opportunity, and, you know, young men have to make sure that they take advantage of that. We understood that perfectly, but trying to find someone to replace him. We do have now Colby. He's just been with us about a week or so.
What kind of support or criticism has the project encountered? You said a lot of support. Did you get much criticism?
I think a lot of people thought we were anti-business. And, you know, I try to tell them, we're not anti-business. We just expect that business, if you're going to build a new property, that you respect the environment. And also, why build a new one when there are two empty ones over there? But, you know, sometimes you're able to influence people, sometimes you're not. And some are grateful that the trail is there, and others, you know, you'll feel. I do know, every time I pass there now, last night when I passed, three rows of parking were there. So the people are really using it, and they do like it. And in the beginning at these meetings, one of the things they asked us is, please don't change it. We like this spot because even though it's in the midst of all this, you know, development, this place is quiet. It's just unbelievable that it's in the middle of all this, the houses around it. And they want it to stay that way. They don't want it developed.
Do you think it's, what do you think it's done to your property, the value of it?
It's hard to say in today's terms. I know from the beginning, I mean, my property value just kept going up. I don't know where it is now. But anyway, most people are very happy to have the park that close. You know, this goes back, I don't know if you know the history, in the 20s, it was proposed to be a Cleveland Metro Parks. And the people in the area just didn't want it. But then a builder or a developer bought the property, and he named all the streets with park in there. My street's Park Haven. There's Park View, South Park, North Park, and just a lot of streets with the word park in there. So this has always been intended to be a park. And someone wrote a letter to the Parma Post mentioning that very fact, at last, the people who have park on their streets have a good reason now that we really have the park there. So,
when you start reading the papers about, I know you said Home Depot and the golf course and all those kind of things, was that something you were very opposed to, the golf course? Was that something that you didn't want to see happen at all?
No, I don't think we need another golf course. I don't think many golfers go to the other one that we have. We already have one. I think my husband had a free membership while he was worked for the city, and he never went, but he used to golf way back, but he said he wasn't a great golfer, so he wasn't interested.
So how have you, in your lifetime and living in this area, how have you seen the landscape change since you've been involved in this?
Outside of the fact that there's a building along Broadview Road that I, not only the Home Depot kind of thing, by the way, Home Depot pulled out. Cross, they built an Aldi's, also on an area that was pretty natural. That's Seven Hills. But just the same, that's going to have an impact on the stream because there's more runoff from parking lots than there is from just trees growing.
Can you give me any, besides Aldi's, is there any other changes you can think of that, that you liked or you didn't like?
Well, they also put another building up there, but Seven Hills worked to promote that development, and I understand that. But if they wanted to develop the one side of Broadview Road, maybe they should have considered that the other side should not be developed. The Broadview Road Hill, the property we bought, which is close to 75 acres from Channel 3, totally wooded, thick woods. The other side, every time it rains, this is quite a hill. I don't know if you've ever drove on Broadview Road. It's a hill. From the Seven Hills side, the water just runs down the hill. I mean, just like a stream. If we hadn't saved that other side, that would have been major flooding at the bottom. And people don't understand this, that you just can't develop these delicate areas. You have to protect some of it. And I think that's what we try to let people know.
In what ways will your efforts be benefit the region through this committee? The flooding?
Well, yes, right. Flooding. We're, about the confluence, right?
No.
The confluence is the area where West Creek goes into the Cuyahoga River. We bought 10 acres. That was $2.5 million. I mean, Oddly enough, we've done that. We've taken care of that much of it. I think we're now working on the demolition, and we're getting money for that. I think Jenny's husband is pretty much involved in that, more so than me, for instance. I'm just on the sidelines. But that area, every time there's a heavy rain, that is under 2 feet of water. And in fact, the businesses in the area said, do you want to buy my land too? What we're going to do is to restore it. There is a warehouse building on it, and there was a small bank. Those are going to be removed. We're having a concrete busting party on July 11th. We're having Senator Voinovich, Congressman Kucinich will be there, the mayor of Independence, because this is in Independence. And this is sort of a three-year project. We have a lot of cooperation from several organizations, Trust for Public Land, the Sewer District, and the City of Independence, and so forth, and even the businesses that are working with us. We're going to destroy the parking lot completely. It's almost all parking lot. The building was built right on the edge of the creek with a bridge to the parking lot, which is on the other side. So we're going to restore that to its natural setting. When they built 480, they took West Creek and put it in a concrete channel. So that is all going to be restored to a natural setting. The sewer district actually got a $3.5 million grant for some of these projects. We got their respect, and part of their current mission is to try to restore some of these watersheds, because the less pollution that goes into the creeks, the less they have to worry about as far as they're concerned, because they also have to take care of, you know, all these things that, that flow into Lake Erie and make it not palatable, not able to be used properly, you know. And so some of their money is going to be used for the Confluence Project, but they're also doing several others. I can get to those later. But the Confluence, they're going to meander the stream instead of keeping it in a straight line, and they're going to put wetlands. Now, when once you take away all the hard surfaces and you have a natural setting, you're going to have a lot less flooding. You're going to have a lot less pollution going into the Cuyahoga, which goes into Lake Erie.
So those are huge.
It's a very big project.
Right.
At the time, it was December 2006, I was called to a board meeting. Now, the reason I remember it is I had just had back surgery. I have 10 titanium bolts in my lower spine. That's my second back surgery. I was still in a body brace, and Dave called me up, and he said, we need you. We need quorum.
Vassarelli or?
Linchek.
Linchek, okay.
And so he says, well, we'll pick you up. But my doctor must have just took one look at me and said, I can't tell this woman she can't drive. You can drive. Take the brace off and put it on when you get there. So I walked in, and then I put on my body brace. And this was the vote for the Confluence, $2.5 million. And my first question to Neil at the time, I said, Neil, no, I didn't say it to Neil, I said to the board. I said, before I give my vote, if we don't get this money, do I have to mortgage my house? They said, no, you have to sell it outright.
So you were going to the voters?
Well, they needed the board to vote this in, and we did. We voted it in. And then they started working. But Neil had already figures on where some of the money would come from.
Okay, Neil who?
Neil Hess. He was our watershed coordinator at the time. He's now a board member.
Okay. So how did you raise this $2.5 million to get to buy the land?
Some of it was from the state of Ohio. Oh, what is it called? It was issue 2 on the ballot. It was a 3-year project. Well, Senator Voinovich got us some grant money. The sewer district, of course, they're part of it. And the Trust for Public Land, I don't, you know about that organization?
No.
They're sort of a mortgage company for nonprofits. They're very short-term loans, but they will come forward and give enough money, knowing that the grants are either about to come or there's a possibility or whatever. So they did. They helped us with the funding until we got the grant money.
Wow. This group is completely amazing me. Can you tell me a little bit more about your group? Saying people's names and...
Well, Dave Linchek is our CEO now. Dave Vassarelli was until, I think, 2 years ago. Then he went with Trust for Public Land. And at the moment, I'm going to have some water. At the moment, well, he's been at some of the meetings, mainly because of his involvement with the Confluence. Somebody's got to do that. He's, you know, it just amazes me how hard these people work, and they don't get paid. It's just the joy of seeing the project come to pass, you know, that things are happening.
Wow. So you don't have anybody paid on your committee?
Yes. No, not on our committee. We do have employees. We have Derek Schaefer, who started out as an intern, but now he's got a new title. I forget. It's in here somewhere. Project manager. He asked for that upgrade, and we were happy to give it to him because while we didn't have a watershed coordinator, he just took over all the responsibilities. He did such a great job. And he's a young man. He just graduated from college, of course, when he was an intern and then moved up. All of the people that we have work like the board works. I mean, they just put so much time in. I used to ask Neil, I said, Neil, do you hide a person in your office who does some of your work? You know, how could you get all this done? And nobody's standing over them, ever. Then we have a part-time person, but she's more or less contract. We had to hire somebody to do our bookkeeping because having just the board do it was not, it just didn't work. And we need to do some, we need to get an audit. And before we could do that, we had to have some good kind of bookkeeping done. So she comes in and she's paid by the hour. And then we have a development director who's part-time who is working to get donations from companies and organizations and so forth.
So this is just a little grassroots committee. People started and then turned into a committee, turned into now hiring people.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Where do you see it going? I mean, where do you see this project going or this committee going from here?
Well, I think one of the things we're looking at is to be land conservancy, a district. There's a trail that was built in Seven Hills, the Treadway. You heard about that one. The city of Cleveland asked us to get the conservation easement on that. They approached us.
And asked you to?
Yes.
That's cool.
So we have a reputation even in the city of Cleveland, and I know a lot of the board members said, well, that's out of our watershed. But we're the city of Parma had the possibility of getting this land, the Bush funeral home wanted to sell their land, and the city of Parma would rather preserve it than have development happen there. So we partnered with the city of Parma in saving that land too, even though that's in the Bay Creek watershed also. But the thing is that we feel it's not really out of our mission because it's still something that we do. And if people approach us and know we know how to do this, I don't know how to do it, but I mean, people in the organization. That's why I'm saying that, you know, I can't take credit for all of these things. I mean, these people work so hard at it. I'm just this little cog in the wheel.
When you're looking at, what's next for the project, what have you guys talked about? What's your long-term plan?
To tie into the towpath trail.
And how will you do that?
Well, first of all, get the land, get the money to buy the land. And a lot of this, there's a section that goes from the Henninger House to a completed area in Brooklyn Heights. In fact, there's a bridge that goes nowhere. It goes to the trail that will go to the Henninger House. But that's up a rather steep cliff. So that's going to be not only difficult because of maybe purchasing the land, building the trail, but the engineering originally is going to be rather difficult. I don't know what kind of trail they can put there. It'd have to be a switchback.
So once you get this, you start connecting these trails, is there anything else that they would like to do as far as more conservation or more preservation of different area or to make it bigger or...
Well, I think the direction that Cleveland Metro Parks is moving us is to be a source for people everywhere who want to do what we did.
To protect their watershed?
Right.
So they can come to you and...
That's going to be the sort of the thing that it will be developed in the watershed building, as it's called. It's not going to be a nature center. It's going to be a watershed center. And the idea is that the protection of watersheds are very important.
How many volunteer hours do you think you have given to this project?
I don't know. I told him I average 10 to 15 a week. I'm not sure. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. Wow. But, you know, sometimes you'll just get on the phone or, like, at the time when I write an article, I sometimes have to talk to people on the phone for at length, and I forget to record my time. Then I spend a lot of time on the computer writing and rewriting, and I do such mundane things as help with the mailing, because Barb and I are going back. We're going to mail out invitations to that affair for the Confluence on July 11th.
Okay, when you do that whole affair for the Confluence, are you guys going to... This sounds like a celebration type thing. What do they do with all of the debris?
It's going to be recycled as much as possible. That's one thing Dave Assarelli asked that it be done. Now, the brick, I think there's building companies in Georgia that just love brick brought from this area, used brick. So that will be taken care of. I think he said close to 85% of it will be recycled.
Oh, that's awesome.
But you can get the figure probably from Jenny rather than me.
Okay. Let's go back to some more of this group. Okay, so we talked about, you talked about almost just about everybody, right? What role does this, you keep saying Dave Linchek, what has he done for this group?
Well, he originally started with the group. He was the associate director along with Sue Zarofchek. And, of course, when Dave Assarelli left, then he sort of fell right into it. We felt that, you know, he should.
What do you think his talent is? What does he bring to the group?
Just good organization. He runs the group. And
he's a business side of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and then who's the other person you gave me?
Sue Zarofchek.
And what does she do for the group?
Well, a lot more than I do.
Well, who does all the grant writing? I guess I'm trying to get to...
She is on the grant committee. Terry Sahursky, who is not a member of the board, he just doesn't have the time, he says, but he does work on the grant committee. And Laura, what's Laura's last name? She was on the board.
McShane?
Laura McShane. And... Bob Graytak is still, I think, on there. He was on the board, but he isn't any longer. His wife has an illness. He felt he had to spend more time with her. She has MS. And so they still work on it. I went to one grants committee only because I went to a committee where we were doing work on the trails. One of our new board members, what's his name? Brett Ifolio, I think his name is. He is a civil engineer, and to him, the trails were very important to him. The study that Floyd Brown did, you know, to tie all these areas together and get to the towpath trail, was just such a big expanse, and he formed a trails committee that broke down the various areas that were sort of geographically able to be broken down. Then he also had certain criteria as to why we would do one or the other, and then we presented all this to the grants committee, and they found that was a big help because he had done some organization, some guidelines as far as, you know, what this trail would involve and so forth. So that's what I mean about we seem to attract these people that do something wonderful for us. And they said that was a big, big help, having all this information.
Now, the board, has it become an elected position, or how do you get to be on the board?
As long as they say, would you like to be on the board, you're on it. I didn't realize that, and the first time they asked me, I looked at the names that were up. It was Dave Assarelli, Dave Linchek, Sue Zarofchek, Irene Toth. Who the heck's going to vote for Irene Toth? I didn't know they voted the entire slate in.
Oh, okay.
So I said, gee, those are nice coattails to go in on.
So the board votes for the board members?
No, it's at a membership meeting.
Oh.
And this last membership meeting, I think we had 50-some members came, 50-plus. But that's because we were showing the film, the Return of the Cuyahoga.
Yeah, that was we watched
yeah.
that. So would you like to say anything else about the project? If you had to tell other people about this project, what would you want them to know about it? What's some of the...
Well, I've said this to many people before. I've never known a group of people who work together so well and work so hard and still seem to enjoy what they're doing, too.
And you've seen great things come out of this.
Oh, yes.
And you guys, the movie that we watched, that was, to me, was the highlight of the movie.
Yeah.
When we got to the part about West Creek, I didn't know anything, and I watched that. Tell me, when you guys watched the movie, what did you think when you saw that part?
Most of us, until we saw it the second time, didn't. The impact didn't get as great. But even the reviewer of the first time when it was down at the film festival, he pointed that out, too, that it only got interesting when it got to the West Creek Preservation Committee. So evidently he noticed that about the film, too.
I thought the passion by you guys was really...
Yeah, well, you saw the two Daves and Neil in the film. Neil Hess was the watershed coordinator then, and Dave Vassarelli and Dave Linchek.
Right.
Those were the three in there.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about this, this committee before we...
No.
Or your project that we didn't already say?
I don't think so, but you know, I'll think of it after I leave here.
Maureen, do you have any questions that you...
You know, I did, but I think you answered all of them. I'm just so impressed with the effort that you all put out. And how do you feel when you all get together? I mean, just...
That's what I said. There seems to be a sense of joy,
joy.
In the group.
Yeah. And to see this whole thing come to fruition, and I would imagine as you see this whole thing continue to develop, you'll see other areas branching off. What do you think might branch off from this? You know, as you join the Metro Park and you join the National Park, and you know, what else do you see as possibly moving on from there?
Well, I think just if this can be a catalyst for other groups, that will be something that will at least make me feel good about it, because there's really a determination in this group. I have to go back now. I was at a meeting with... we also had board meetings, several board meetings with the sewer district, the Cleveland Metro Parks, and so forth. Just board members would go, and of course they were daytime, so very few board members could go. But it was a meeting prior to the Metro Parks signing the lease, and somebody said, "Why is West Creek so important?" And before anyone could answer, I said, "Because everybody on staff is named John Muir. We all have that same love of nature, mm-hmm. that same idea that nature is more important than anything, and it's just that spirit is there."
Mm-hmm. So it came off great, I thought, in the film, and meeting you and talking to you, I've seen that passion for preservation, conservation is the ultimate goal.
Right.
And then educating has to be one up to there, too, because we have to make sure everybody else is on board with that.
By the way, I was a teacher.
Oh,
English and social studies, and I used to teach 11th graders. Uh-huh. So when I taught the Civil War, they said, "Gee, Miss Toth, you can teach that from memory." And I said, "Yeah, but I'm having trouble with the Revolutionary War."
I'm just so impressed, you know, being on several on boards myself in Zor. I'm so impressed with your enthusiasm and passion. You know, somebody used that word.
Yeah.
And that's a very good word for what you're doing. You're passionate about it. and you must be commended.
Yeah, well, as I said, I don't do as much work as, say, Dave does, or even Dave Asarelli. He's still very much involved. And also Sue Zarovchek. They go to meetings, and even Barb goes to a lot more than I do.
But, you know, just like you said, you're a cog, and in order for that big wheel to run, you need those cogs.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, Dave always is afraid to ask. I'm the same age as mother is, and his mother is not able to do very much. And I'm also a cancer survivor, and that was my second back surgery. So he's always worried. I said, Dave, if I can't do something, I'll tell you.
Wonderful thing to be able to be a part of that's going to go on.
Yeah.
And you have to be excited.
Oh, yes.
About all the kids, the families, all the people are going to be out throwing frisbees. You know,
I felt honored that they wanted me on the board. I didn't feel that, you know, I thought that was a wonderful thing.
And this started out just as a memorial to your husband.
Right.
And turned into a passion of yours.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, the first time I manned the table at Parmatown, this man, I was talking to him, and he shook my hand, and there was a $20 bill in there. So I gave it to Sue, and ever since then it's been a joke that Irene always gets all this money. That's my phone. No, that's okay. It'll go to voicemail. We also do the Scrooge's Night Out, and I'm the one that always gets the $20 tips. They feel sorry for me, this old lady.
That's really cute. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We need you to sign because.